back to the firm, episode 8. We are both incredibly deflated after performance at a tournament today.
Yeah, I think I think I have a less justified reason to be pissed off than you.
Yeah. We've just come back from the Leodis Games, just outside Leeds. So they just did a Falconer's launch event, slash not Falconer's launch event.
God bless them.
Yeah, it was really good, really good, really good fun. That is a cracking venue.
Yeah, first and first, the good thing about the venue, hand towel in the toilet.
You love a good hand towel.
I love a hand towel. I love the feel of a hand towel on my hand. Thing. I don't like paper towels. I use too many of them. I mean, on one side, I'm helping to kill planet Earth, which is always good. But on the other side, I just don't like the texture of my hand. And to be honest, there are ways I'd rather prefer to kill planet Earth if I had the choice. So I'll keep them close to the chest. But on the other was £3 in, unlimited coffee. And it was good, good coffee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Them guys know how to run an event. Yeah, free cake.
Free cake? Yeah, oh, fucking good. And they were good as well. Them Rice Krispies like treats.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
So if you can see an event going at Leodis, you should go. Especially if it's the one that we're planning on running later this year. Because yeah. We love that venue so much.
Oh, my God. You're going to plug yourself. Fuck it, we've become such shill.
Yeah, giving out dice, wearing matching t-shirts.
Oh, God, I had a really hard time with that, you know.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't think I'd realise how bad of a time I'd get across from someone and go, yeah, I've got a little dice here from the firm. That's my podcast.
It's like I said when I was at Vengeance and you were saying, like, come on, shill it, push it. And it's how you just sit down, you have to go, oh, my God, hello, do you know who I am?
Greetings, mortal!
Lucky you, you managed to draw me in this tournament.
It's exactly that. Like, and I think it's that part of you putting yourself out there a bit and turn around to go like, oh yeah. And to be fair, the guy I did give a dice to like, oh cool, yeah, sure, yeah cool. The other thing I really loved about Leodis as well, is that when they were doing the refill for coffee, they weren't stingy about it. They weren't going, you know, don't act, don't tell style coffee. They'd come up to you during game, you'd roll on your cup and go, can I get your refill? And you wouldn't have to go to, they'd come and bring it to you, like a fresh cup of coffee. And yeah, they had cake. They were right next to a cafe. So when it was lunchtime, you could quickly go grab a bite to eat. It wasn't ridiculously expensive. And the funny irony is, I spent more there than I do in my venue.
Yeah.
I blew £3 on the coffee and I bought a can of 7-Up for like £4. £1.
You know, I was going to say, yeah. How big was this can?
Yeah. That's how much I loved them. Like, it's only £1 for the 7-Up. No, here's £4. Yeah. No, do you worry. And yeah, they provided. Another thing I fucking loved about it, a lot of people do a £5 store credit when you attend a tournament, and on their store credit token, well, you can either take a £5 store credit, free coffee refill for the day, worth £3, or free cans of Coke, also worth £3.
Yeah.
So if you went for the can of Coke or the coffee, like if you didn't want to buy anything,
you could still get something out of your
Some drinks. And it wasn't like negligible, it wasn't like you get a can of Coke, you got free can of Coke. But if you weren't going to buy it, you could, at the end of the day, you got, give me free can of Coke. One for Alex, one for Dave, one for myself, like a kind of a refresher.
Yeah
really nice.
So in the same way that we said Liverpool just play games, if you can get there, you should go. If you can get to Leodis, you can go. It's one us over.
Run by Neil and Simon. I really couldn't recommend it enough. Super welcoming, handshake straight through the door, and like they couldn't help you enough.
It's nice because we've been to some tournaments where I wouldn't say that you feel like you're, I don't know, sometimes it can feel like, obviously it is a job, you know. The store owner is having you there to bring business in, but it didn't feel like we were a chore, which is nice.
Yeah, because I had that element of, there's a bit of passion behind it. Like, it's a passion project.
Yeah.
They're not just getting, it's not like they're raking in money over there. They're doing it because they love games and want to actually promote something within the community. And, you know, getting to pay in Warhammer every now and then isn't too bad. But yeah, I don't have a bad word to say about them. If you're listening to Neil Simon, great time at the fucking venue. Great talk. Smoothly run as well. Even though it was 4 rounds, started at 10, ended at 6.
Yeah.
Compact.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a minute wasted, basically.
That's 10 the firms out of 10.
Jesus Christ. 10, oh God, I have... You know what? I'm going to be on my deathbed later, and someone's going to replay that to me and go, remember when you said this? Like, I want that all the time.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I was young, I didn't know.
I'll be getting, like, a divorce, and I'll be used as evidence again. Go, there's no legal standing, but, Your Honour, Ryan Garfield is obviously a massive cunt.
we need to make a quick clarification before we roll on. In the last episode, when I was running out Vetsacana, giving him a go, I said that he was maxed out at 3 influence, then I spent 1, and then I was going to try and bag a coffers him. Ryan stopped me because he's a cheating bastard.
Yeah.
We were just under the impression. And you know when you're just halfway through a game and you're just like, let's just play it as is. And then we were meant to go check the ruling. Obviously didn't. But yeah, I said that he couldn't have allocated himself 1 more with bag of coffers because he'd already been allocated his maximum. But obviously, because he dropped down, he could have.
Well, that's slightly counterintuitive to me, because the way I view it is that when your allocation is, you get 3.
Mm.
And no, even though you've spent 1 technically, I don't view that as you spending 1. That's 1 that's been used up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a cheeky way to gain 1. But I think, again, the ruling clarified.
Yeah.
And, like, that's actually what you do. Which, again, makes total sense.
Yeah.
But for me, that was my thinking behind it. It's like, you win it, you are allocated 3. That's just gaining 1, spending 1 ahead of time. Yeah, so, yeah. I thought that was just a bit cheekiness on your part. But, yeah, going into the tournament, first round.
Mm. Mm. So, I took Corsair Fish, as usual. I mean, I took Fishman, who knew what models I was going to play?
Any 10, of
And you took your Hunters.
I took my Corsair.
You were going to hope to buy the Falconers, weren't you? But
alas, I really, yeah, I did really want to buy
I think that was kind of shown by the spread of guilds. You know, there was a blacksmith, a butcher's, engineers, I played my fish. There was masons, a mortician's, a rat catcher's. Someone actually had falconers, because they, like, laser cut, like, the silhouettes out. And sort of before we started, like, he said, can I do that? And Spuddy as TO was just like, why not? This is the Falconer's launch event. You know, you've got the cards, you've got some... And he wasn't just proxying with generic bases. You know, he'd gone to the effort of cutting...
Yeah, he had cut out what looked like the silhouette of the model.
Yeah.
And just by looking at him, you can tell who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I thought, yeah, it was cool for Simon to go, yeah, of course you can play it. Like, you're here for the Falconer's, motherfucker.
So there was a Falconer's. And then there was 4 Hunters.
Including myself.
4 Hunters, including you. And you were looking to just play Falconers out of the box, didn't you?
I was tempted to either go Falconer or try and get a good bit of practice in with my Hunter, with the Falconer climbing
you
in.
You said you wanted to take Minerva, didn't
I really
you?
Want to get more Minerva and Matagi practice. Mm.
Well, you got plenty of practice before they turn up now.
You're fucking, God fucking damn it, man. I know it don't make a difference. I know it don't make a difference, but it's... The thing that... I know it's not Steamforged fault that they haven't arrived in time. The thing that annoyed... I think he went to Leida, right? And I was having a chat with Neil. And he's an independent game guy. He's not got some huge backing. He's not GW.
Yeah.
Who's getting a big check signed for him. When you get a bunch of people at Tom like that, they're hyped up, they're ready to buy it, they're ready to go in, and you've got 12 people there, and... It wouldn't be unreasonable to expect the fact that there were 4 Hunter teams there and 1 guy who was proxying Falconer, 5 people potentially were expecting to buy those guilds. Because of the delay.
And then you've got to remember that of the people who are going, I'm sure some of them are collectors or some of them are painters. Yeah. You know?
But and, I think you could reasonably just put it in the almost certainty that the 4 guys who played 4 Hunters and the Falconer, they were a definite buyer. Yeah. At 35 quid a pop or whatever.
Yeah.
And just take from the delay, even if they want to buy them, a lot of people are going to buy them and I'm just going to order them off the internet.
Yeah.
It's taking pocket money out of Neil's pocket, basically.
Mm.
And you can hardly go, Falconer 2.0? Pipe. Because people will be proxying the shit out of them now.
Yeah.
You can't put the genie back in that bottle.
Mm.
I feel there's nothing you can do, but I feel bad for Neil. And, you know, another brick and mortar store who were especially independent, who were trying to get the foot out of the fucking door. And, like, if it were 35 quid a pop, you've had a couple hundred quid right out of your pocket there. But, yeah, for, you, what was your first round into?
So my first round played into Andy, a fairly local player. And when I saw him, I knew he was going to either bring Engineers or Butchers. So when I saw him, I just went, fuck, I hope I don't draw him. And I drew him for round one. And then he brought out his Engineers, who I think he's been playing since the Kickstarter. Oh man, he's got them gorgeous Kickstarter dice. Have you seen them?
No.
Like, oh, they're so nice. They're like this really nice dark brown and gold, and I keep seeing them on eBay.
Keep trying to steal them off.
Yeah, when he's not looking. Yeah. So he played Ballista, Mother, Hoist, Velocity, Colossus, and Ratchet.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised when he was drafting, because I think he knows that I like my goal scoring.
Mm.
And so I was so surprised to not see Compound down. But then when I spoke to him about it afterwards, he basically said, well, you're going to get the goals, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we were speaking about it afterwards when we were going to grab lunch. And he was saying that the drop for Compound for him is into not quite so all goals teams, like the ones who like lean towards goals but don't rely on them, because then you can sort of really hamper them, whereas the Fish
two teams.
Yeah. Because like the Fish, there's only so much you can do, because like Angel, four dice, five or super shot, you know.
Yeah, I think that the good thing about not taking Compound in that is that his aura that makes him spend two influence from the kick, it's the same range as his counter charge.
Yeah.
So you're either outside the range and you're taking a hit, or you're going... And the other thing as well, on Compound, you need to blow an activation.
Yeah.
You give up, and sometimes you just don't have the activation to give up.
No. But we played a really like nice, tight sort of ping-pong game, basically. which I was more than happy to do, because I got the first ping. And then, so I got the ping, he got the pong. And then I missed the return ping. So Angel missed a snapshot when she was super shot with bonus time. Rolled all the dice. I got 1-5 and the rest were 1s and 2s. And like you said, when I told you, couldn't even give me the fucking 3.
Yeah, couldn't even pretend. Like, oh, if you're in snapshot, maybe, guy. Like, just a hard fucking hard hit to take.
And then, and then he just eventually, once by the time I caught up on the, like, I got my goal, and then we were sort of neck and neck. At that point, when he kicked out, he just got the perfect scatter. Like, just like a gnat's breath out of Sakana's one, but it was comfortably in Colossus's two because of his long legs.
Yeah.
So he just went mine, off he went. And
Colossus, super solid all rounder.
Like, you know, when you're looking at a goal kick, and I was going, cool, Sakana's threatening that entire area, Angel's threatening that entire area, and I was like, there is very few places this could go where there'd be no like contest for it.
Yeah.
Like, where, and when you put the scatter down and you look at it and you just sort of go, there's maybe two dice rolls on that where that ends badly for me, and he got one of the two, you know.
Yeah.
He got the one where Colossus could pick it up without challenge and then could just walk away, you know, whereas if it had been dropped a bit shorter, Sakana would at least have been able to challenge him for it. You know, if it had dropped a bit further, then he would have had to go get it off someone, or he would have had to walk into my sort of Corsair Kraken Jack area to try and take it off. But he had that perfect bit where he was just away from everyone, could just pick it up and off he went.
Yeah, the kick threaded the needle.
Yeah, it was a bit unfortunate. I think a win was definitely on the cards for that one, but really good, fun game. Yeah, it could have gone either way. It just didn't go my way.
It really is like a knocking match with the Engineer and Fish. They do very similar kind of shit, just in kind of slightly different ways. Mm. Enough to make them feel a guild onto their own.
Yeah.
And I think the good thing about Engineer is that if you push it the right way, you can get a bit of damage on board. Like, I just don't... I think what Ballista gets in damage and told up with Ratchet, Corsair gets for the plus one dice and the 2-inch melee. So they kind of cancel each other out in a way that weird way. I won't like that matchup.
Mm.
I don't even like Engineers and a Fish anyway. Like, I like the Engineers, but I like it in the first turn where I get 4 damage faster. Then the second decoded line, I'm like, I don't really like this guild, you know?
So who was your first round?
Matt Walker. I love this guy. I've played against him. I've only been to a couple of tournaments, not too many. And I've done okay at most of them. But Matt, I played at the last two tournaments I went to. I had one team. We had a team tournament that didn't go on long chance. And I played Matt then.
Mm.
He's out of Sheffield. He played Farmers when I first played him. He played Masons when I played him afterwards. And he played Ratcatcher for the time. Just a fucking cool guy. Lovely dude. Great player. But I also beat him all 3 times we played. farming, I'll give them, not much you can do. I think the farming, the hunting were a really bad matchup for the farming.
Yeah.
Mason's kind of the same thing, but I think in that game, by the time, he kept feeding me hammer. He wanted that punch of damage, big fuck off activation, and he never could quite secure a kill the hammer. And I kill hammer back, and then heal up, and he'd repeat.
I think the problem with superstar captains into the hunters, I think the problem is just Theron. Just like, if you get that pinned off, it's just... So you really struggle, you know.
The thing, he was getting in on Theron, but he couldn't kill him in the war activation. So he hammered in the middle of nowhere with all my models and his team were all over there at the back of nearing goal, and it was kind of on my terms.
Yeah.
So he called thing was, and he killed someone in activation. And even then, he was kind of trading 2VP for 2VP at best in that game. But in the one which you played, Ratcatcher, I had an incredible... The only thing I can remember about, even I played four games today, I'm having trouble like recalling the... We had like a couple of traded blows, Scourge comes in, Pelage comes in, and I'm able to pick them off one by one. But I had a situation where I had Scourge on like four crowd out, singled out, and I had JKR. And that was another one where I really needed a good scatter. And sure enough, it scattered right next to JKR. Perfect, needed it. I left it floating.
Yeah.
I'm not making that... I'm trying my best to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
Just leave the ball floating for now. I had JKR go, pick the ball up. And because there was so much extra attack, JKR, and Scourge was already on 2-0, knocked down, no counter-attack.
Yeah.
On every attack, I was rapping. And even though I was on the nearer my side of the end of the pitch, on my bad half, I was getting double dodge, one attack.
Yeah.
Next attack, double dodge, push dodge, keep him in, and I'm pushing him into other people, and I'm keeping him, and I'm threading the needle of other people's melee. And then the last one, I'm like, bonus time it, ridiculous levels of dice. And I was doing damage to Scourge the entire time, mounting from momentum. And by the time I was done attacking him, I didn't even need to sprint.
Yeah.
I just jogged up, goal kick, got the goal. So I'd really hurt Scourge, got a goal, VP, I had JKR dodge off, do shadow like, back to the shadow, and then the four dodge.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, Kena comes in.
With
ridiculous levels of attack. I mean, at one point I had that much momentum, I didn't have enough momentum tokens to keep track of the momentum.
Yeah.
I had to kind of spend it just for the momentum I had on the table match what I had.
Yeah.
And when Kena on a 2-0 model coming in with like four crowd out or something, singled out, knocked down, snared.
That is forum world, isn't it?
I could not have asked for better activation, and it gave me that momentum lead of like, heal everyone.
Yeah.
I've reset all your damage. I've got 7 VP off of activation. Off of turn, should I say. And now I'm on the fort. And then I push back.
Yeah. One thing I noticed when I came over after my game was that he had Bonesaw on the board.
Yeah.
How did you find that? Because I know a lot of people sort of shit on Bonesaw a bit into like both as morticians and rat catchers. There's a lot of like forum land tech for him, but how did he actually play on the board? Because I hadn't seen him in
the thing I like about the thing I like about playing against Matt that he plays the kind of team I'd play if I was playing his team. So he brought Vet Graves and he brought Scourge Vet Graves from Bonesaw. Fucking love those models.
Yeah,
I really love Bonesaw. I think he's great. He's got good maneuverability. He works great with Piper. He did take a bit of a hit in the damage department. Like again, for Vet Graves to really do his work, he needs to help Scourge out.
Yeah,
and Vet Graves ended up floating out in the middle of nowhere instead of just getting in the mix and trying to, you know, threaten a bit.
Yeah.
And give Scourge a hand. At the very least, provide a crowd out with his 2-inch melee.
Yeah.
Just to make it, that JK activation I got because even though you had other models in the area, they were only 1-inch melee and they weren't occupying an area that he needed to be occupied. If that Graves had been floating around, it would have made that activation a lot harder to deal with. But Bonesaw did work. He got a goal. Bonesaw got a goal. Piper got a goal. And I was playing one of them games where he ended up spending a long time trying to get up a goal with Bonesaw.
Yeah.
Because I kept just throwing shit in his way. Forest, snared.
Yeah.
He was founding ways around it, but I think I was surprising him a bit in how I could put my foot in the door, basically. And that JKR activation that came out of nowhere. Like, okay, we were on kind of 4-4, and we're both on kind of an even level. Oh no, I might have been 2-4, favouring him. And when I'm like, okay, damage, dodge, momentum, and then goal, it turned it from like, oh shit, 2-4, 6-9, and I think I got a bear hook for that activation, and bear hook always doing work.
Yeah.
But we had a great game, just fun. That's the thing. I always walk away from that with that going like, just had a nice time.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing. When before we even started round one, when the two of you were sort of getting your stuff out, you're just like, oh, sick. Hopefully I draw you at some point, yeah.
We normally, the both of the tournaments we played last time, we got each other last round.
Oh,
so it was kind of like a nice palate cleanser. Yeah. Like, we've kind of played the games we're going to play. How you do?
Yeah.
Cool. Just really cool guy.
Cool. Then, so after this, you soared to the top tables, and I sort of, kind of frustrated at myself, because I think I got that. In all honesty, before going to this event last night, I listened back to Anatomical Precision, the Brain Traps, Mind Traps,
Episode 12,
Thinking Traps, Thinking Traps, like that. Thinking Traps,
yeah.
Because I know I'm quite bad performing for them. And they took questions on their last episode, and I asked, like, what advice do you have for people who know they fall for thinking traps? And one of the things I took away from that is, at least, like, know you're falling for them. Because one thing in particular that I know I've noticed I'm really bad at now is, sort of, as we say, you know, we're all about that champion's mindset and sort of thinking, not doubting yourself, sort of, I can do it. And my sort of thing of, now I'm going for activations which will get me VP instead of deny the other person VP.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's showing in the fact that even though realistically I'm not winning more games, my games are so much closer. You know, I'm losing 12-8. Instead of losing 12-2, 12-4. And the two games I lost today, we played them 5 times, 10 times over. I think that they could have gone down to 50-50, whether we won them, lost them. And one thing I found myself doing that I had to just sort of stop myself doing so many times today is picking up a handful of dice and going, right, and then, like, just becoming that dice mathematician. Whereas we always go for the flow chart, you know, that sort of, what are the two options, right? Which is the one that progresses me down to victory, you know? Like, what's the best thing that can happen compared to the worst thing that can happen, right? The best thing that can happen is so good, it doesn't matter. It's worth the risk, you know. Whereas what I was doing is I was picking things up, and I found myself going, okay, 7 dice, 4s and 1, so I should get. And then as soon as I was going, no, stop it. But no, that happened a couple of times. So I've tried to force myself out of that mindset. But so I went down to the bottom tables. You headed up to the top tables.
Yeah, I think on the kind of game you lost on, though, where it was so close and you had such good number. Okay, 9 times out of 10 when you get put on back foot, it's almost always the dice.
Yeah,
you go like, okay, I've got it. I can't believe I haven't fucking got it.
I basically, not to be completely hyperbolic, I think one of the key reasons I lost that first game, one of the key reasons, is because that ping pong was happening and I missed one out. You know, I literally missed a shot. So then when he returned it, I thought that I'd be able to score a goal and retrieve it. Like I said, it landed in the perfect place. So I went for the goal, and really, you know, I probably should have made sure it would have been secure wherever it landed first, but I didn't. And that was one of the reasons I took the goal that I missed, was because it was Angel. It was super shot. It was bonus time, you know.
Six dice looking for 2 falls. Like, if Jake was attacking a 4-0 model, I'd expect to hit 2 falls.
Yeah.
And again, like, you don't want to get caught up in that, where you go, yeah, I'm owed 2 falls. But mathematically, it's not a hard thing.
Yeah.
And yet, in that, when you said to me, I'm going, like, how are you first game? And you're a bit on the icicles of doubt were sinking in.
Yeah.
You're going, like, you said, I missed a shot with Angel. And I'm going, and I knew we were engineers. And I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
You need, it's not, there aren't that many elements in the game you can slow down in that. You kind of take turns punching the shit out of each other. Go away.
Yeah.
Especially
with the list he had.
Yeah.
You know, I was quite pleased myself, because I feel like I'd used my beaters, Corsair, Kraken and Jack. I felt like I'd used them quite well to sort of, I was grabbing people and just sort of getting them within that 2-inch melee and just sort of threatening them. Like,
yeah, the shakedown.
not even like literally knocking them down, just doing that thing of going, right, you're being engaged by him and him, you're being engaged by him and him, you're being engaged by him and him. You can try and walk away if you want, fucker. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sort of looking at Ballista and just going, I dare you. Like, try and take the parting blow from Kraken. Like, try it. You know, so then the models that were free, I felt like I'd almost allowed them to be free. So I was really pleased with how I performed. I was really pleased with that first game. Yeah. It's a shame I lost it. But then, right, I've talked over myself so many times. Right, finally, second round.
Second round, yeah. You're going.
So my second round, I went into Ben Redmond, who you've played before. I don't think I have. And Ben was the guy who brought the beautiful, like, silhouetted laser cut proxies for the Falconers. I spoke to him, and I think he's actually put the files on Gubbs.
Yeah, I think he did mention, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I was just like, oh, and at the end of the day, I was like, oh, I'm going to be all over them if you're doing for Navigators. And he was just like, yeah, I've got no real reason to, I don't like fish. And I was just like, ah.
You didn't turn around and go, well, they're not fish, are they? Navigators. Don't give me that. No, cool guy.
This is another. Literally went down to the wire. This game was, he won on the last activation. I think he finished. There was a beat, and then Spuddy shouted, "Dice down!"
I hate that.
Which was quite. It was in a way. It was a bit frustrating because I still had like 6 minutes on my clock, and like Ben finished with 9 seconds on. I mean, like obviously he won with 9 seconds on his clock. That's like the pinnacle of. Like, utilising your time, you know, that was perfect.
Yeah.
He obviously perfectly uses his clock, whereas I lost and had 6 minutes left. You know, maybe I could have used them 6 minutes better. But that went to 12-10.
Yeah.
It was 11-10 at the final sort of activation. And I looked at his clock and I thought I might be able to get a point on the clock out. So I tried to kill Frelsey. I was just like, if I can just kill this mascot. I think, because I was looking around and I was just going, right, he's healed. Like, Divana, I'd got her quite low, but then he healed her up. And I was just going, I don't like my chances there. I'm more likely on Frelsey because she'd taken a few hits. So Corsair went in and just sort of pistoning his, like, fist and his peg leg into this bird. Just, like, trying to kill it.
Yeah.
Because I was so desperate to get that one. Because I was like, 11 all, he was so low on his clock, I was thinking, there's a chance I can get a point on clock out here. You know, if his target was obviously going to be Angel because of how much health she was on. So I got momentum off attacking Frelsey, used it to heal Angel 4, and I was just like, 5 defense, come on, I think she can do it. But I didn't get the kill on Frelsey, and I was just like, okay, it's got to be clock. This is the only way I win here now. And he charged in on Angel. Defensives that are up to 6, you know, that did really well. But then the rest of the influence went into her and she died. Yeah. 9 seconds left on the clock. Ben took it. It was a really, really good game.
Yeah.
But Falconers are very, very different on the table to how I expected them to be.
Yeah.
Really, really different. He didn't take Icarus. And
yeah.
Or it felt like almost because he hadn't taken Icarus, it was just like he got
the takeout machine. Yeah.
It was just takeouts. You know, there wasn't a goal on the board from him. So I think that I reacted far too slowly to that. I switched up and started going on the offensive a bit too late. I got a couple of goals, I got 2 goals, 1 takeout.
Yeah.
I should have switched up earlier. Yeah, I should have switched up earlier because I was doing my usual sort of trying to pin down the right models. But the problem with creating that scrum is that the Harrier AoEs are all in the right place just for Divana to just completely open up, you know. I think I gave Divana far too much, and you give her an inch and she takes a mile. It was really, really fun to sort of see the Falconers be played.
Yeah.
And what I really liked about that is that it clearly got really heated because we both really hard fought and we both clearly really wanted it.
Yeah,
it was a really nice, intense game. Nice and clean. I just didn't quite come out on top.
And again, the dice down. I remember coming, I'd finished my game just then, and I'd come in to have a quick look at your last few minutes on your clock. I didn't realise it was dice down.
Mm.
But on that final activation where Angel was being beat on by Divana, kind of really near your goalpost, when you went for the corner activation, I'm going like, in my head, I'm like going, oh, I really should have gone for Angel. Try, because she had free influence on her. Mm. Like going, yeah, just nimble up, dodge, trying to get her.
The push dodge.
Even if with a 2-2 tack, it's like, if I can get a push dodge, I can knock him out and try and get away and get into the sweet embrace of Corsair.
And that's one thing I was thinking about doing, but I knew we were so good because Spud had literally just come over and gone, like, he'd said, like, a minute left. And that's when I was just like, I need to get a VP on the board to at least be contesting, because it dice down, he had the 11-10 lead. So that's why I went after the mascot.
No, I think in that scenario, Human, trying to just go, if I get him to 11, if he just hits the clock, bang.
Yeah, that was it. That's what I was thinking.
And it's like, what would Frelsky, 4-0? Let me just quickly GP keep him out. 4-0.
Mm.
Yeah, Frelsky, 4-0. And on Corsair coming in, if he'd had a full stick of butter, no problem. Yeah, hitting, just bang, knocked down, 3-0. Is that a crowd out I've got there?
Yeah.
Just douche. quite pretty decent health for a match, actually.
Yeah, is it 10?
10, yeah.
Yeah.
Love Creature and Flying and Water. Love Creature and Nike.
That's one of the things, because I hadn't killed Frelsey. Well, they would have got it anyway, but because I'd gone for Frelsey, like, for that desperate grab at some VP, when Divana went in on Angel, she was on the plus one for the assist on Frelsey. She was on the plus one. So she was on plus one damage from the assist on Frelsey. She was on plus two tack, because Frelsey was engaging.
Yeah.
Got the one crowd for the assist, out, one for the crowd out, and then the extra attack from Love Creature.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was... Like you said, if there was 5 minutes left on the clock, I would I looked at the Angel one and it was a complete toss up. You know, I had about 6 minutes left. Sorry, I had 8 minutes left on my clock at that activation, and I spent about 45-50 seconds looking at them, just going, which of these two is the play?
If it was any other model, like if it was Grayscale from the bad situation or Kakana, I'd go, fuck them, like they're a fucking ship. Angel though, that's different. It's defense.
Being able to go from that five to that six is that's such a step up.
It's literally the difference between 4-0 and 5-0 is the X factor. It's where you go from, I can expect a middling result, to, I might not even get a fucking hit.
Yeah, yet. Yep.
And yeah, you can get lucky maybe on four dice, not hit anything. Like everyone's had, everyone gets one and two roll all the time. But five and six are that really hard barrier I mean, if you roll dice and you get 5-1, how rare is that?
Yeah.
It's a similar thing, like going, fuck.
No.
Having to negotiate. Yeah, you're already halfway through the dice negotiation, like going, what the fuck, dude?
I'm going to put these back in the bag. Yeah.
How often I do that?
Yeah.
Go five, all right, they're going back.
Yeah.
I did that with one of my other games where I had a one and I kept that dice back and I went going, if I need a low roll. And I think I did do that later where I go, I got Kickstarter, let me go for that low rolling dice. And I got from like 2 and 2. I'm going, there we go.
See, low roll.
Every cloud.
You went into a mirror match in your second round, didn't you?
Yeah, against Rob. Rob Taylor. I don't know much about him personally, I haven't played against him before. But a nice guy, really, really good clean game, and I felt a bit bad because me and Rob are kind of in a similar situation. I'm, at the time of the tournament, I'm coming off dental surgery. I'm literally popping antibiotics at the tournament to keep fresh, and I was sweating it out then for a couple of rounds. After I'd eaten and had a coffee, I felt a lot better. But that early against Matt, I was zoning out at the point and going, and you were going, oh yeah, do free momentum. I was like, what? Like, you okay, dude? I went, yeah, I'm just... I had the worst gum abscess of my entire life the other day. And the night and day difference. I'm literally just going, I was in a hell dimension yesterday. I was in the Phantom Zone. And I've just escaped. And I'm like, I feel good. I feel okay. But I was in a really... I'm on pretty strong painkillers and antibiotics. And I was sweating it out a bit. Rob was kind of in some situation. He clearly didn't feel his best. And he had a couple of openers that... Yeah, I could see it on the board. The second he'd done it, I could see it on the board. Like, he deployed his line out. And the way he made me kick to him, he won the roll off. And I kicked it. And I literally got it to the very edge of the pitch. But he hadn't anticipated that I'd do it one way, extreme one way or the other. I thought he'd expected me to try and get it, you know, just... over the line, and I got a good roll. I got it on pretty much the edge of the pitch.
Yeah.
The only model who could even try and get that ball was Kina, and I didn't even bring it up. And it was super close, like 3 inch close to the edge.
Yeah.
Kina walk, and I'm saving the Ferran activation because I know he's got. Yeah. I get the last activation. Eventually, he buckled. Can clean her up.
Yeah.
Hits the ball into... He tried for the one-dive pack and actually gets it.
Yeah.
But...
Didn't take the dodge to bring it back into...
He didn't take the dodge. I think he took the dodge with Fahad or something. Like, he wanted to get the ball on Fahad and get her out of there. Fair enough. You know, securing the ball. He did have a good chance of getting a goal, and he did get a goal. But on that opening activation, Farron walked in, and Farron pushes early and hard. And even if not, I've got a big influence on this dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're not getting away from him. Walked in, momentum, 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 momentum. Double pushing.
Yeah.
The good thing about Farron, he double dodges really early, but non-momentously. But he double pushes momentously, pretty reliably. And even, I think he pushes momentumfully on two hits. So even if I'd only got two hits every single time, I had a shitload to play with.
Yeah.
And yeah, I pushed Cena off the pitch, 2 VP straight away. Yeah. And then I was firing off pinned and snipe to thin out, get some snared up. On the other end of the pitch, bit of fast round knocking about on the very edge of the pitch.
Yeah.
Naturally, he goes, JK's going to go into the fast round on the edge of the pitch. Naturally, I've got Chaska on the end of the pitch. my, and I've done it in a way where all my five of them, like on my side of the board, my five models were on the left, but Chaska was just on the right. Mm. On you, that magic
layer. You do like to sort of, you sort of set that up. You almost force the game to be played on 2/3 of the pitch because you close off that 1/3 just by Chaska standing there with his shotgun, you know,
yeah.
Just sort of threatening. If you try and come, you can try and come that way, but Chaska's just going to blow you away, you know.
And nine times out of ten, it works. The good thing I like about that is when they go, I'm not going to fuck with Chaska.
Yeah.
And anyway, he's not doing it. He's not even getting influence.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'll leave that. And they usually leave him.
So it brings it into the... So it closes down where they can be, where they choose to let themselves be, which like makes it more likely that Cena's going to get in there.
Yeah,
gonna
I
get
can
your crowd
start
out, yeah.
cloaking the bubble around them. Mm. More importantly, when they close away from that other end of the pitch, it gives me a nice safe area I can kick that ball to when they get the goal.
Yeah.
I normally make a piece with... I played a game later on where it went, oh, you didn't even try and stop that goal with another player. I'm going, it wasn't worth of influence I have to blow just trying to stop your goal. I could be getting valuable points and take out.
Yeah.
I just have to make peace that you're going to get the goal. And if I try and fight that to tooth and nail, I'm going to miss it out. I'm going to get killed in the meantime. And that was one of them situations where when he finally got the goal kick, he'd abandoned that half of the pitch out of fear that I'd start pushing people off.
Yeah.
Give me a whole area of the pitch to kick it up to Chaska. He's miles away from anyone. He takes the ball and he gets to cover and rough ground.
Yeah.
And here I am.
Yeah.
Snares all around him.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, walks up to JKR. Because he knew I meant to push early and I'd go for the boombox. He didn't declare a counterattack.
Yeah.
So I kept him in.
Yeah.
And then pushed him again. And it allowed me to set up a trap, lower his defence and free hero, boombox, you're off.
Yeah.
And started out the first activation with 4 VP on the board, with nary a damage point done. JKR and Fina both had full health when they got killed.
Yeah.
But because I just pushed them off, they came back on with full health, but I'd already got a 4 VP.
Yeah.
And he just had a really hard time. And again, he'd done the same thing again. He was afraid of Chaska now, and he really wanted Ferran, because Ferran was kind of out there.
Yeah.
Brought Ferran back. Didn't waste influence on him, and he brought JKR and all the models I killed back on that side, and I pulled back into my line, and it made it a lot harder for him to actually. He had that thing where he'd extend, I'd pull back, and he'd extend into my range, and I'd counter.
Yeah.
So like, okay, he'd do that thing. We'd both be standing arm's length away where we can't punch each other. He'd throw his fist out, and I hit his fist.
Yeah, he played footsie.
Yeah, and it worked beautifully. And it ended in that situation where I was just picking his models off one by one in situations that were always favourable to me. And he got the goal with Ferran, but again, I just clawed in around him, ate him, and I fought situations where he couldn't get his damage dealed up. He had a couple of activations where he had, like, JKR on the board, and he measured, and he went, I can't reach, can I? And like, no. And I'm sorry, but that is literally what I intended with activation.
Mm.
And again...
It's nice that when you play other people, you don't do it with the shit-eating grin that you do when I say, oh... Because
no.
when we do it here, and I sort of, and like in my kitchen, I sort of just go, oh, I can't get there. There's this little smug little thing, you go, no, you can't.
No.
It's like... Fucking prick.
The idea behind it is like, they almost always say it like it's an accident.
Yeah.
Like you're going like, oh, I can't get there, can I? No! Why do you think I gave up like four influence? That is precisely what I intended. And yet he had a couple, we had Minx on the board. He had 3 Furious models.
Yeah.
And I did not let him, I don't think he got a couple of Furious off of Minx, but everyone else couldn't.
Yeah.
I knew how to deny him. And the same thing again, because I'd pushed Cena off the board. When he was doing the run back on, he was getting ready to run Cena back on that edge.
Yeah.
And he looked and went, he saw Ferran on the board, and he went for a turn and went, no. And put Cena at the back of the pitch. And I'm going, he's done for a turn.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he made the right call.
Yeah.
If he'd done that, I immediately would have...
Just knocked him straight
knocked
off,
him straight back off. If he'd done it at the other side, Chaska.
Yeah.
And at 2-1, I would get a double push on 2 hits,
momentarily.
What are you going to do about it? It's not a good... It really isn't a good look. Mm. And yeah, you do it for... With Chaska and Ferran, you do it for free.
Mm.
So yeah, that threat of the push made him basically give up Cena. And by the time the game had ended, Cena had barely got halfway up the board.
Yeah.
Although I did show him that if you've got a Furious model, you can declare a charge against someone even if you can't hit them.
Yeah.
So he did do that with Cena to try and get back up. Charge. Yeah. Oh no, I didn't make it.
Yeah.
Kevin Inch.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a brutal game. And Black Rob, he clearly wasn't feeling his best. I could tell straight away.
Mm.
And I wasn't feeling my best, to be honest. It made me feel a bit better about the game, actually. Probably helped me play better. But yeah, brutal, slogging match between Hunt and...
Roll on into round 3. You continue to climb. I continue to sink. So in this one, I ended up playing Spuddy and his Philip Butchers, and I won 12-6.
Mm.
You can check that on Longshanks. I won 12-6. You can have a look at it. That is immortalised for everyone to see.
Yeah, when it
unfortunately,
judging by
Leafy Gold, 12-6 is the buy. But Spuddy was the buy, but because of the odd number, he sort of stepped in. But we still played it out.
Yeah.
And the actual score was 12-8 to him.
Yeah.
He won, but I'm trying to remember. I think it was 8.
Well, looking on Longshanks, seeing it, if I had to compare you and Simon, judging by Longshanks results, you are the superior player.
Yeah. And not only that, 12-6, twice as good as
immortal,
him.
He's literally twice as good as Simon. Mm.
Yeah, Spud just really knows them butchers. It was Fillet and Princess. Fuck. Fillet and Princess, Vet Ox, Boar, Meat Hook, and Veteran Gutter.
Mm.
And he knows them inside out. It was quite cool, actually, because I know my Corsair guys, because I ran Corsair, Kraken, Jack, Tentacles, Sakana, and Angel. Ran them into every game. I know them inside out now. You know, I'm finally at the point where I'm rolling dice, I'm looking at the results, and I know what I'm taking before I even look down at the card. I'm looking down almost just so the other person knows that I'm looking. I'm not sure, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at it, and I know that I've got two hits, so I know I'm taking the knockdown, of course, there. But, like, I'm sort of looking at the card almost as a bit of theatre, so they know that I'm not just pulling results out my arse.
Yeah.
So we had a really nice sort of, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. And there was one point where Spuddy was like howling, laughing at me, because I was like, I was putting all these widgets down, all these markers, because I was putting down, right, so that's Angel, she's got Super Shot up. And I sort of had the 10-inch widget down, but she wasn't quite in it. So I put a 2 next to it, and I was just like, right, cool, so she's in that if I can get the Corsair Legendary off on it covering her. You know, and then I sort of did the same with Sakana, and he was just going, I cannot wait to find out what I've done to you. Because he had no idea what he'd done by creating this sort of puzzle box for me to try and unlock.
Yeah.
Because he has a Corsair just so crowded out. But then I was just like, I could just walk away, but if I walk away, you might just kill him. You know, like, I'm not going to get the knock. You're not going to get knocked down. I'm not going to get tackled because of close control and sturdy. But he was so low, I couldn't risk the just walking away from 3 models. But yeah, good game, good fun game. Just beat me, but you know.
Yeah, no, I think sometimes you just have them honest games where there wasn't any particularly bad die, there wasn't any particularly janky shit.
Mm.
There's no.
Well, I feel like if my first 2 games, if I'd played them 10 times each, I think it would have gone to, you know, 50-50. I think the engineers matchup, if we played that exact list against each other, I think I might have won more often than a lot. You know, maybe 6-4 instead of 5-5. The Falconers, I think it could have been anyone's. I think they were so close. But playing into Spuddy, yeah, he just...
Solid.
Yeah, just sort of just outplayed me completely.
Oh, don't make a difference. You beat him a long chunk.
Yeah, beat him 12-6.
Padding out your victory. My third round's a weird one. Jacob Raymond, who is Ben's son, who you played against earlier, and I played against before. It was weird, because he got called down, like, oh, it's the young lad. He's like 15 or 16.
Mm.
And Dave came up to me, Mr. Millington himself, and went, right, Jacob, we really like to go for the takeout game. And the fact he was giving me advice ahead of time kind of freaked me out.
It didn't freak you out, because you were stood next to me when you did it. Dave came over and just went, when it was drawn, and he just went, okay, he really likes a takeout game. And you just went, you sort of had this look of sort of horror mixed with shock, and you just went, is he a killer? Like, what?
The fact, I've played against good players earlier, and he hadn't gone up to me and gone, right, listen, Rob, you want to look out for this, okay? Or, you know, Matt, you know what this guy's like. It was the fact that this kid who I hadn't played before, this wunderkind, kind of, they go, yeah, you really got to watch out for this. You're like, whoa, why have I got to watch out for him? What are you doing now that I don't?
I think... I think it's also you've also got that, because when you saw that you were going to be playing into the blacksmiths, that's
maybe,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, because we... Fuck me dead, we hate the blacksmiths.
I told Jacob about fucking 10 times, I hate that team, I hate him, I hate that team.
That model, the one you're moving now, hate him. That one, moving him, hate him.
Here you go, yeah, I'm going to have Burnish go up 4 inches.
Hate him.
What's wrong with you?
But yeah, I think it's actually to the point where it negatively impacts us now. Like,
oh yeah,
we're even just seeing that we've been drawn into a blacksmith, we both immediately go, fuck it, ah. Oh. Okay. So we put ourselves on that back foot before we even walked up to the table.
Even for me, who generally I consider my attitude to be relatively untouchable, it does put me on a bit of a
calm like a serial killer.
To be fair, I think the Hunter do good. If I'm a good matchup go, the Hunter can actually fuck with the Blacksmith a bit. And start ruining their day. Low defence, the fucker movement, they can actually put shit out there. Again, last time I played Blacksmith Ball, they are playing Brewing, which I think, not only do I think a terrible matchup for the Brewing, I think on a 1-for-1 level, it's the worst matchup in Guild Ball currently, in season 3 at least. The Brewing versus the Blacksmith generally. The Blacksmith
a team that are so reliant on the wraps.
Yeah, short tack, short playbook. And the fact that armour cuts into that, it turns it from one myth all of a sudden. It really fucks me there. And the Brewers are kind of, no pun intended, a momentum team.
Yeah.
Where they start this slow snowball, and by the time you end, guys coming in going, +3 damage, bang!
Yeah.
Fucking, everyone's knocked down, momentum for days. I'm fighting off extra attack and, rap. When you can't even get the ball rolling, you end up going, I'm fighting even for momentum here. I just can't even get on the board. But the Hunters don't suffer from the same problem. They can actually get in on... I've got anatomical precision on JCAR. JCAR flat out fucking ruins the day of some Blacksmith. Gunstring? What? Gunstring and the trap are a guaranteed way to cut the inch off a movement. And there is no way around that. You have to move to cut the trap off. The second you move, -2.
Yeah. You can't preemptively clear conditions. You can't get rid of the snared. You've just got to look at it and go, I'm about to take this.
If I hit Kraken with Gunstring and put a trap near him, and someone else don't come to take it off him, he can't move.
Yeah.
There is no counter. There's no clever play. He cannot move. And some of the Blacksmiths are like that, especially some of the slow moving ones.
Yep.
And on the opening turn, he won the roll off. I made him kick to me, and he had Burnish kick. Burnish was captain. I asked him, how many games he played, and he went, a shitload.
Yeah.
I went, okay. Dave's already given me the warning. If I can play a shitload of games, if Dad, who's literally next to me on the table, I know he's very experienced.
Yeah.
And he'll have been teaching Jacob everything that he needs to know. And he was really good on the rules.
That sort of thing where you said to me that you realised when Burnish came up and threw out his, it sort of like, it started to look like the Burnish gun line, but then it didn't get off like that.
If he'd have tooled up
and
then dedicated to doing the free character play, he had Hearn and Ferran together. Ferran and Hearn, not spectacular. Four defence is good, but Ferran's real defence is that extra point of armour. Character play can't the same way. So potentially, he could have had 24 combined damage with them equally. And for Hearn to work, I needed him to go last. I'd already had that there. I wasn't moving him, and he could have done a shitload of damage to the guy. And he went up, he did one filled up, and then he was cool. And a bit of myth all, he was just maybe jockeying for McKishan. Like, he'd done that. Maybe he detected the goal and he's worried about it coming next turn. So I did the Hearn teleport on him immediately. I started just ganging up on him. JCAR came in. JCAR went in. Started dragging him into my line with the push dodging and doing a shitload of damage. Get him up from Kena. He was snared. I'd got him knocked down. And we're Burnish. I even had a couple of... I can't remember what I did now, but I think I managed to get singled out on him at some point.
Yeah,
when I teleported, I wanted momentum. So I teleported where I could hit Burnish, give him a cheeky singled out, sprint, shot, got the goal.
I remember you telling me that you went, need the momentum, right, singled out, that'll come in handy later. Right, where I'm off to.
Yeah, always done. Burnish 1-inch melee as well. We can just get bullied.
Yeah.
And yeah, Kena came in on a ridiculous activation. Bear hugged him. I was Kevin VP up in that first activation. And on that first, that was just the first turn. Kind of like going, maybe it's just he'd underestimate how much I could do. Could Burnish is a 3-2 model.
Yeah.
But anatomical does a shitload of fucking work. And when you're on 2-1, and then when you're on going below your condition from all the drag coming in, I ended up dragging Burnish into my line. And what ended up happening, he had three apprentices behind Burnish, and Burnish ended up getting tied up by Hearn, who scored the goal and dodged into him, and Hearth kind of cut around. I think he had a hard time figuring out where to put Hearth. And, it's not... Going into a tournament, it's like a grown-up. Because we are grown-up, technically. No one can take that back. I'm allowed to vote. You kind of have a different... You do feel better. Even if you get jittered for nervousness, it's not the same when you're like a 15-year-old dude. And you're at a tournament, and they're comprising, and people are watching, and you're playing against a fully fucking grown man.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... You're not playing
dollies with a grown-up.
Yeah, like, I love Gilball, I love playing miniatures, don't get me wrong. But if a 16-year-old me got a croc and a 30-year-old dude with a fucking beard showing from and he's got a t-shirt on, like, yeah, I'm on the Gilball podcast here today. I don't know how that don't put you on the back foot. Like, it doesn't shock me that he won't play in Infect, but he knew the rules really well.
Yeah.
Like, he clearly learned fucking sharp.
But it's, I remember you saying that it was like red hot on the rules, and then I just thought, you know, maybe the blacksmiths were new, you know,
maybe, yeah,
because like it played loads of games, like clearly knew the core rules inside out. I don't think that my first, if I picked up the blacksmiths, I don't think I could win my first four or five games with them.
Yeah.
They've got that set up payoff, you know, the breathe in, breathe out that only comes with practice.
No, yeah. Yeah. No, I honestly think he'll be a great player. Mm. And he, again, that kind of memory, where you can look at the cards and memorise what they do.
Mm.
And I told it, when I was playing against the Hunters, he wasn't like, oh, I've never played against them before, I don't know what they do.
Mm.
He was going, oh yeah, I get what they do. I already played an unusual team, and he kind of played an unusual team.
Yeah.
He clearly wanted to get killed.
Yeah.
Which, a man after my own heart.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't want to... I 12-0'd him, but I can't go... I've played kind of fucking... I think he wasn't used to me kind of getting back and going, I'll let you come into my bubble. And I don't think he realised how powerful that bubble is.
Yeah.
And yeah, Kena gets a lot of fucking work off, even a couple of crowd out. When you start throwing a couple of conditions in, that two armour... On Kena, if it was Chaska, wouldn't have even tried it.
Mm.
Kena, though, 7 tack with a couple of crowd out. Then the two armour comes off. When you're on 2 defence, I don't need the full playbook. I just need a good few hits to get my shit going. And yeah, it was one of them games. But yeah, obviously knows the rules really well, knows the cards. And yeah, and to be honest, I think it was just a bit on the back foot.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation to be in when you've got a 30-year-old fucking dude like me.
Yeah.
maybe I feel a bit more conscious about it. Mm. Goonie beard man. When I were 15, I'd have thought I were a loser. Moving on, round 4.
Yeah, so final round of the event, because it was 16, but we had to go down to 12 due to dropouts.
I forgot about that. If I'd have lost that game with Jacob, it'd have been the end. We wouldn't have played a fourth round. And
before we started playing, you looked up at me with like a pained expression, and you just went, "How much do you want to go?" You went, "How much do you want to go home?" And I just went, "Don't give me that shit. You haven't got that fucking in you." You couldn't throw a game if someone put money down in front of you.
It depends how tired I am, really. But
the fact you even suggested it, I was just like, you couldn't.
Yeah, you're right. Fucking pretending, like going, oh, should I try and make it Alex's fault?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that was my thing, going, if Alex thinks he really wants to go home, he's my lift. I've got no other choice but to throw the game.
If my friend needs me to do this, what kind of person am I?
Like, I'm down in Ant and Pioi. Like, listen, Alex, if you're too tired for this, just let me know, brother.
Coffee in one hand, painkillers in the other.
Smushing toast into my face and Rice Krispie treats. By the way, the Rice Krispie treats were fucking ridiculously good.
Mm.
I don't think they were marshmallow. I think they were some kind of caramel. A bit of a different... whatever. they were off the hook.
Mm.
Free as well.
Mm.
Fuck me.
Mm.
You know my problem's going to be? If we run a tournament at Leidic, right, I'm going to be that kind of guy who goes, shows up at our tournament, and go, oh, no bit good. Oh, no, my wife, you know, had, like, real life stuff to do, and it took a...
Also, it's your tournament, why aren't you doing...
Yeah, it was, like, really hard, all, like, going, I get it. Mm. Oh, I get it.
Yeah. I see how this is.
I might even try baking my own shit, you know. Everyone just starts feeling fucked up.
For Always Sunny with it.
free beer, free wine in the can. Yeah, I don't think I'll get back when we had a game. But yeah, I think I won the game. We went to a fourth round.
Rolling into the fourth and final round, I drew Tony and his Honor Masons. He's a relatively new player in like the sort of local area. Awesome game. There's not a whole lot to say about it. You know, I think we were talking about it, and I think Tony mentioned that he'd played like 9-10 games. So we had quite a cool sort of nice slow paced game. You know, the clock was running, but we weren't being religious to it.
The casual wind down game.
Yeah, we still played for it. You know, we didn't sort of I didn't. Yeah. You know what I mean? We sort of played. We fought for it. I took the win, but yeah. really, really nice, really good, enjoyable game. Look forward to playing Tony again.
Yeah, I always feel bad when you go up against people like going, I'm just getting into it. It's quite hard.
Yeah.
A lot of the kind of janky rule and the more complicated play do come with playing a lot of games.
And there's something I didn't even realise until I was sat there. So I sort of went, I said, right, have you played Fish before? And you went, yeah, but not all of the models you've got. Like, not some of the ones you haven't got. And I was like, right, okay, cool. So Angel, she's going to score goals. That's all she's going to try and do. Oh, and Jack, he's about pushing. So if you get too close to the edge of the board, he'll push you off.
Yeah, you weren't a dick about it.
Yeah,
you're going like, yeah, I know you're a new guy. Here's what I can get away with.
I was doing the rundown, and I was just sort of, and as I was doing it, I was going, shit, actually, these guys are fucking horrible. Because I was just going, okay, Jack will do this, this, and this, and if you try and hurt him, he's got tough hide, so he takes one less damage. I go Sakana. He's got like quite fast. If he starts in cover, he can give himself cover to move away. You know, he gets a free counter attack once per turn. Wow, he sounds really good. Cool. I've got tentacles. Oh, he's just my mascot with close control, so he can always first tackle. And then I've got Kraken here, who's got tough hide again.
I think the only good thing is at then, least you didn't bring Grayscale in, because Grayscale is the ultimate noob killer.
Yeah.
And there's nothing fucking worse than bringing a 1-inch model into Grayscale and going, right then, guys, I'm ready to attack. Yeah, unpredictable movement. There's literally no way for you to do anything about that at all. Yeah. It just, no, but maybe I can't do that. Don't stand. There is nothing you can do about that. Is that 4 influence? Yeah? You jogged in, didn't you? Yeah? Well, maybe if I sprint. Don't count. I'd have done the same thing anyway.
What if I charged?
I don't care. Again, try and charge. Do it now. I'll give you another go. Charge. Okay. Unpredictable movement. You don't get anything. Do you have a ranged character player? No. I guess the turn's over then, isn't it? Like, that's kind of how you feel. Like going like, I can't wait to play Game of Guildball, guys. 4 influence. 6 influence on a 1-inch melee captain. I'm just going to go attack Grayscale. That's over now. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to have my turn. Yeah, there are some noob killer models on the fish.
But, like, though, it was when I was sort of giving them the rundown, and I was sort of going, okay, this is Corsair. He's got tough hide and sturdy, so he'll ignore your first knockdown, and close control, so he'll ignore your first tackle. I was like looking at these models, and I go, fuck me, yeah, I forgot about these guys. They're passive as shit.
Okay, I remember when I was formulating that team, I was like, I can't remember what I was doing, but I was looking at all the cards. I'd never really looked at the fishermen at all.
Mm.
And I spent a good bit of time just going through the card. And when I finally kind of settled on a team, I thought it was really good. I was like going, these fuckers are in. I could just feel it in my bone. These fuckers were just a nightmare to play against. And that even like, you go cocky going, oh, I've got sturdy. You can give that to Kraken, by the way, if you thought.
Yeah.
If you thought you could get away with just knocking someone down, stand firm, same shit, different day. Have fun playing against that.
Yeah.
Can I do a knockdown? No. Can I do momentum double push? Don't get you out of melee range, idiot. Counter attack, knockdown.
Yeah.
Momentum drag, back here. Is it one per turn? Hell no! How many other models have you got? Surely there must be care if I'm 12 inch away. Wrong again, motherfucker.
But yeah.
Oh, God.
We had a really... It was a nice, good, clean game, sort of.
It's a good exercise to do that as well. Just look at your models and go, what am I trying to do with the model? They get that. I always think to myself, don't get so arrogant that you think you're above the basics.
Yeah.
So just going like, here are my team. What am I looking? What do they do? Mm. Refresh. Get goal. Dump pushing. Knocks down. Goal. Blind.
Weird. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that bag of coffers.
Yeah.
Every other two blind for two... fucking speaking of blind.
Going up to do two dice, that's huge. Yeah.
I think in my next game, round 4, Dave Millington for the tournament could have had first place. He played Mortician, who I fucking hate.
I think that you should have a word with Simon, and you should have... I think that you won that 12-6, really, because Dave didn't bring his own captain. I brought that... So
DQ.
Official DQ.
No, but... I generally don't like Obelisk. The thing I don't... The blacksmith, right? The reason I don't like them is that the armour gives them a level of reliability. Or more importantly, gives you a level of unreliability that I find just hard to get over the hump with.
Yep.
The hunter can do something about that, though. The mortician, with Obelisk floating around... First off, Hearn and Sheena are the only ones who can reliably go after him. I need him to use some predictable movement.
Yeah.
Ferrin and Jake are a couple of my best killers. Can't touch him.
Yeah.
Hearn and Sheena together can do shit, but I also need to to be very careful. I need to get Biff to Biff.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to make a mutually unpredictable movement. The thing about the mortician is that I feel at no point if anything I do Biff.
Yeah. That's the whole thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but he had Pelage, Casket.
Mm.
He had killers on the board. Not, we're not talking like middle limb damage dealing.
Mm.
We're like, you think 15 health will save you from this? It's like, no, I'm going to run through levels of dice that are just insane.
Yeah.
And because he fucked on my momentum, it prevented me from trying to clear my own condition. Like, he was running Pelage up and going damage or snared, and I couldn't afford to take the damage, took the snared.
Yeah.
And like, I can try and heal it back over time.
Oh, by the way, you don't get fucking momentum for attacking
him. Yeah, well, yeah, he had several, three of his models were pure MP denial. Mm. Pelage, you don't get momentum if you're trying to kill her, which 9 times out of 10, you're trying to fucking kill her, or you should be, really. Mm. Dirge,
yeah.
Who I can't leave floating around the field with some cocker. Giving Cockett plus 1 damage plus 2 tack for the crowd out and the assist, it's a no-brainer. I'll take the 2 MP hit just to get him the fuck out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not letting you have that. But it also meant I took Dirge out twice, but it also meant I lost 4 MP.
Yeah.
In reality, you lose 1. You give up 2 of what you got. You get the condition, and then you get 1 VP for the yeah. 1 MP for the takeout. But he drew my MP, Obulus, who can obviously legendary and just take all your MP off you. And he took it off me in a time when I needed it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get into that mindset of, well, no, I don't ever want to get MP.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In reality, I probably should have taken better non-momentum control, got 1 MP, and then immediately healed myself.
Yeah.
And going, if you want it, you're going to have to earn it.
Yeah.
But at no point, if I wanted a lead, and Obulus hadn't activated, I couldn't really guarantee it. Like, any MP I got was in his hand, waiting for him to guarantee first turn. And yeah, Pelage negating my MP early on led to a bit of a snowball effect. And not to mention, in the kickoff, he kicked to me.
Yeah.
And I really wanted the ball, and I passed to Chaska with Ferran. Free kick, very respectable kick, did get it from the dice. Chaska picked up the ball, he got near him. Okay, hope on the horizon. I'm going to try and get Ferran out of there by passing to him. Chaska back to him, don't get it.
Uh-huh.
And the scatter, 5 kicks.
Oh, man.
Right back into him, and Ferran out in the middle of nowhere. And I basically went, fuck it. Hearn's going to take the hit. Yeah. I threw Hearn in the meat grinder and went, you're not having Ferran, but you can have Hearn, basically. What I really should have done, I should have shot the ball free. Even though he kicked it onto my side, I should not have taken the bait.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have just gone, you know what, the situation, I know what you're trying to do, Obulus. If you want to do that, I'm not giving you free ball to do it. Yeah. And more importantly, you have to come to me. Like, I know once you move forward, once you start the movement train with Obulus, you really rely on Puppet Master. The range on it is ridiculous.
Mm.
16-inch range, factoring in movement on Puppet Master. You're not getting away from that shit. But I would have made the onus on him to try and move, sprint, come to me, try and Puppet Master.
Yeah.
That I'd used up 5 influence on him already and then get a favourable outcome. What I did is give him a good outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was fighting off momentum on that first turn. He was getting up other model for casket time, which he was going to get up Hearn for casket time early on, but he only generated 1 influence.
Yeah.
Didn't do it with him. Got Chaska on his own, who generated 2. And I tried to outplay him on I managed to get a first turn with Grudge Match, but I had 10 influence on my team. I'd lost 2 for Chaska, lost 1 for Grudge Match.
Yeah.
7. I can do shit with it, but I'd taken a heavy hit just for the first turn.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that much for it. But it went to 12-9. And the 3 VP from in the ended on activation where Hearn and Jekyll were very weak.
Mm.
In about the middle of the pitch, they were hiding behind a tree, basically.
Mm.
And I thought that I'd protected them with a forest and a trap from Jekyll. So whoever moved first would get their movement cut down by 4 inch and they wouldn't be able to reach them. It'd buy me a turn to get Hearn and Jekyll out there. And if they sprinted off, nothing they could have done about it.
Yeah.
I had seen him in the middle. He'd run Obulus. He got a goal of Obulus and he put him really far on my side of the pitch. I had Ferran run after him and I had Keener and Fahad in the middle. And my thinking was, again, I shouldn't have done it, looking back on it. I had Keener with influence on him.
Mm.
I had Fahad and I went, I'm going to try and pull back and get Obulus to myself.
Yeah.
Because when I had Ferran run up to Obulus, he'd already used unpredictable movement, so Ferran would have started in his melee range in unpredictable movement.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll kick influence. I think he's a 4-1, isn't he, Obulus? He's not a 5-0. I think he's 4-1.
Mm.
4-1 down to 3-1 with Nerd.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're in a fucking dangerous territory. I would have been getting up. I'd have brought everyone back. Yeah. Hearn could have teleported back, singled out with 2-inch melee, and then Sheena could have finally come in and finished him off. That was my thinking. Everyone will pull back. All these models on inside the pitch won't catch me up, and I'll have Obulus all to myself, and he won't be able to stop me from getting a ridiculous amount of takeout.
Yeah.
But what happened there. I'd let that cleaner protecting me with Cochlet and Pelage, and hadn't realised just how good their range was. Not to mention, I'd miss. So Pelage could actually get additional movement. She was able to navigate the forest by a fraction, but a fraction were enough. And even after the trap that had given a snared and slowed down, she could still reach, which gave her a shitload of damage. More importantly, gave her momentum, which she needed to buy the first turn. The second I realised it got the first... It was the end of the activation. By the time I'd realised it got first turn, I knew I'd fucked it.
Yeah.
If I'd left Tina there to threaten them in response, even if she'd gone, I'm going to come up, I'll still go. Tina runs in. Generate, more importantly, generate my own momentum and threaten to bear hug. In fact, on 9, with a hunter, or my hunters in particular, on 9, you never care from a fucker.
Yeah.
Like, don't think you... I don't care how good your defence is. Snare and knockdown or make anyone a shit model.
Yeah.
5 defence. How good is 3 hero? And yeah, on Tina.
Yeah.
Even with one crowd out, just to push him over, when you get into that territory, fuck, like the bear hug, get to almost guaranteed level. And it, the amount of VP bear hug has got me over the course of playing Guild Ball can't be unstated. But yeah, I was raw about that one.
Yeah.
Because after I'd done it, I'd realised the mistake I'd made. But it's not like I didn't know he was going to try and go with Costa, Pelagia and Costa. I thought I'd done enough to keep him away.
Yeah.
And when he navigated it, by a fraction, but still enough that I felt satisfied letting him have it, I realised I'd made a mistake that I should have threatened with Tina and kept him in the middle of the board and going, if you bring up, I'll counterpunch. And then just move Tina up to give him a hand. Knowing that he was bringing on already weakened model, who I could have bullied. Both have 1-inch melee. Could have bullied him. It was just worm walking where I'm like... And it was for first place as well.
Yeah.
I got second, which pleased with.
Yeah.
Couldn't ask more than that. But I think if Dave had crushed me, I'd always feel a bit better, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd go like, oh, yeah.
The fact that it was so close and the almost deciding factor was, let's face it, a very stupid mistake. That probably...
Well, I said on the drive home that it was the kind of mistake I should have known that was a mistake at the time.
Yep.
It wasn't something that I went after the fact and went... You have them looking where you go, I made the right decision, I rolled the dice and it didn't go my way.
Mm.
They annoy you, they usually fucking put you on the back foot and going, fuck. Yeah. But you can kind of make peace with that in a way. Like, you've had games where you went, oh, I lost, but here's how I lost. And I went... I barely count that as a loss.
Yeah.
Like, you had some bad luck, or you basically gave them the victory or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But in that one in particular, knowing that I'd made a mistake, that I should have known.
Seen it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even if, more importantly, I think he had first turn that go, I'd have gone last activation. So he couldn't have gone, okay, now that Keenan's out of the picture, move in. He knew from what I did that if he'd have moved in, and when the second I moved Keener, he'd kind of gone,
safe now.
When it came with Cockett, it literally laid a line down,
really?
And it took a bit of convincing as well on my part. I went, are you sure you can make that? Like, are you absolutely sure you can make it? And he got the lay flight out, and I'm like going, okay.
So rough ground and snared for the -4.
Yeah, because she would have already been moving.
Yeah,
but he didn't have momentum to glide.
Yeah.
And yeah, if I'd just placed it a fraction over, it'd have cop blocked him and it had bought me another turn.
Yeah.
And more importantly, if he'd moved forward, I could get Kina up already.
Yeah.
Kina really fucking helped me out during that game as well. Just he had a turn where he was trying to get to Kina and kill her, and I kept coming in with a heal. And I kind of basically gave Chakra up, but Chakra came in, went tough skin, heal her up.
Yeah.
2-2 with tough hide. Bit of a different story.
Yeah.
And the Morticians don't. They have great. I'm not going to say the Morticians don't have great playbook.
Yeah.
Cochrane and Pelage have great playbooks, but 2 armour takes away what you want.
Yeah.
And it basically, Fina went almost all the way down to like 4 health, and I was able to bring her back and keep her alive and make him abandon the whole thing. And I think he knew thinking influence into a kill that wasn't really going to happen. And I think more importantly, with Casket, I think even if he'd gone, oh, Casket time, Fina, didn't generate influence, don't affect what I do. If anything, 3 up 2 influence, she undoubtedly would have been getting to go on to another character.
Yeah.
Super Fred Clough.
Yeah.
And that came down to the very last activation. But Dave, a fucking cast iron player.
Yeah.
No of the cards, no of the game like the back of the hand. How many times can I tap Dave on the shoulder during that tournament and going, can you do this? And when Dave goes, yeah, you can. I know, that is almost as official as it can get. Dave Millett in the Kingdom Free rulebook.
Yeah.
Updated edition.
I feel like it's like, say, when I'm at an event and I have like a rules query, like you sort of, you know how you're meant to call a judge over.
Yeah.
Like, I'll look up, see, oh, Dave doesn't look too dizzy. Dave!
Yeah, I trust Dave over any two.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, fucking, I didn't get first place. God. Really, it's them ones that just, I'll be getting on that for a bit. Yeah, the golden dice denied to me yet again. Mm. But fucking second place. We're coming bitching about my thing. I have that thing where I bitch about, like, going, how, I can't believe I didn't win the entire fucking thing. And I like, you've got that rage in you, like, I can tell on your face, and I'm like, yeah, dude, what the fuck are you, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I should have done better today. That's what's frustrating. I should have done. It was well to have performed better.
Yeah.
To have placed better than I did today.
But that's the thing, getting from perspective. No one cleaned your clock.
No.
The losses you had weren't crushing, and they were super fucking, and they were,
that's
literally
it. They were close games that I lost.
Yeah.
Games that I feel comfortable that playing them again, I would have stood a good chance. My clock was nowhere near as bad as it usually is. I'm really bad at clock. But, well, I feel like I can say now I used to be really bad at clock. You know,
yeah.
I think it's getting there. Fuck. I need to...
It's weird. On clock, I tend to have a bad habit of matching my opponent for some reason.
Mm.
When they take a long time on clock, I almost feel like it binds me time to take my time. Like, if they're being super quick, I'll be super quick back. But if they go, oh, I don't know, and they get a big... I usually use the clock to go, all right, I'll actually have a think about this.
Yeah.
I very rarely... Again, even on the games I've timed out, it's been back and forth timeout. I generally tend to match my opponent in the clock for some fucking reason.
There's a great video, everyone listening to this has probably already watched it, but there's a great video Vincent Kirchhoff did recently, well, relatively recently.
Oh yeah, I've been meaning to watch it,
it's
yeah.
So, honestly, it's so good. There's this, he does this bit about like weaponizing the clock. Like if I used it once today. I can't even remember who it was against, but they'd taken a really, really long activation. You know, like thinking about this, thinking about that, measuring this, measuring that. And then when they finally clicked it back over to me, I was just like, yeah, tentacles twice blind someone, doesn't get it, clock back over to you. And they're like, oh, fuck, back where, oh my God. Like, the board, like, I haven't even had time to process what's happened. I haven't reset yet. And that was really, yeah, really good. Really good, just watch it.
Yeah, in a turn, like, again, Vincent Kirchhoff's probably one of my favourite Guild Ball, probably the favourite Guild Ball content creator I've got at the minute. Like, his YouTube video was spot on. It's always super informative. And then, like, yeah, Guild Ball got you. I remember when I first got into Guild Ball, I remember watching a few of them. Like, he did one on True Replication,
yeah,
which is, like, required viewing for Hoist players. And it just shows you the potential it's got. I already knew a fair bit about Hoist anyway, but just, it's kind of nice to have someone who's clearly a fucking spectacular player go, yeah, here's what you can do, here are the limits.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I was, it kind of reassured me that I wasn't missing out on something.
Yeah.
I think another thing about Kirchhoff as well, he got like a quite a nice voice. Like, you know, just monotone, but, you know, even.
Soothing. Like,
And he's not hard, like, it wouldn't shock me if people listened to this and thought I had a really annoying shit voice. I don't think I've got a voice for video or radio or podcast for that matter. But Kirchhoff, he's like good to listen to.
Mm.
And he communicates information in just like a really clear, even way. It's hard not to learn shit about Guild Ball when you're watching his videos and watching his like YouTube recap.
What I like is that you watch it and you see that stuff that's clearly like high level shit's happening. But it's explained in a way that, like, my dumb ape brain can understand. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sort of sitting there with my, 9 wins, 23 losses on Longshanks. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sort of, when I finished, I've sort of understood something that Alex Box has just done. And I just feel like going, oh my God, that's amazing. I understood that. Oh my God, that was...
I really like the future chat. I need to catch up with that. Yeah, yeah. Weaponizing the clock, definitely a thing. Mm-hmm. I'll do what I usually do, compare it to fighting games. With the clock on, the fact, you know, you can play defensively and try and time an opponent out.
Yeah.
It's generally not good form to give an opponent a shitload of time to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
But it's totally legit. As far as I'm concerned, if someone went, I'm playing Guild Ball and my strategy is to have quick, sharp activations that put the onus on them. Like, okay, thinking space.
Mm.
You go, your their turn, you should be using to get valuable thinking time in and think about where you are. And when they go, okay, but you.
Yeah.
and you're like, shit, I had 10 seconds of thinking space there. And now that I'm thinking on my time.
Yeah.
And more important, okay, for players like me who tend to match the person on the clock, it could probably put me in a bad position where they go, okay, my turn.
No.
Over to you. I might turn around. I'm not even thinking about
it. Oh my god, okay, back to you.
Yeah, don't even panic to go, what, is that how you want to play it? Okay, if I had jobs, over to you.
Yeah.
I'd go, why am I doing? Yeah, I usually consider it bad form if it ends on the clock, but I get why putting pressure on them to move quicker, especially on activations that don't mean anything.
Yeah.
For me, for Hard and Cena on turn one are nothing activation.
Yeah.
Unless they do something ridiculous that just gives me a challenge. Yeah. But they're just like, for Hard Jog, yeah, over to you. Cena Jog, over to you. Tracker Jog, yeah, Trap, over to you. And her and Jake Aaron Ferrin are the meat of that. That being said, I've had like 7 minute Ferrin activation sometimes.
Yeah.
He can really eat up my clock. Can kind of spend a lot of time thinking about what you can and can't get away with and what my range is. Other than that though, I'm generally okay on the clock.
What I've noticed is when I'm getting ready for that goal run, that like my activations leading up to it will be slightly longer than they have to be, because like I don't want to get the measuring stick out, I don't want to put the 10 inches down, because then they go, oh, it's going for a goal run, you know. So I'm looking at it, trying to eyeball it, like looking down at the measuring stick, looking back across, trying it, oh right, so if they were that far away from there, then they were that far away from there, you know, looking at the distances between the lines and going, right, well that line's 4 inches away from that line, so if they're there then they must be, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
trying to sort of figure it out, because I don't want to then where if I'd used a measuring stick it'd be much quicker, but I don't want to give it away, that's what's happening, you know.
One of my favourite things to do is to put measuring sticks down when I have no intention of doing it. Sometimes I'll literally just get my stick pincher and go, And sometimes I will be fishing out for the steward or whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll just be eyeballing kind of where I am.
Yeah.
But I don't intend to do anything with it.
Mm.
It's just I don't even go up to him and go, oh shit. Isn't that where you're gonna end?
Twirl a moustache.
I don't do it like that where I'm gonna go, oh, going to end in there, are you?
Or when they just go, okay, over to you, go.
Get a 20 inch stick out and just go, anything could happen, right? Whoa, anything happen with a 20 inch? No, but you're thinking about it now, aren't you?
So you take a sip from your cup and place your foot long Subway down and go,
Anything could. We need to do a kind of like filthy strategy. like a 15 inch measuring stick that you're just going to put like, I see all your models within that range. Yeah. No, don't want to fail. Range of what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, one technically line. Unless you're Obulus, where 16 inch of range is literally.
Well, like when it's sort of when I've got Corsair and I'm going, oh, maybe. And I'm like, could I borrow your 6 inch stick, please? Because I haven't got a foot long stick.
You need to get a 12 inch stick. I'm just like, you just put it on. Is someone going to end in there? Maybe.
Well, okay then.
I don't want to tell you what to do. Yeah. I don't want to tell you how I'm going to inevitably win this game.
But one thing you did just say there about how, you know, the Fahad and Cena just go, right, that's what I do. You know, the turn one.
Yeah,
I think something that every time we play a game of Guild Ball, which is going to sound stupid, but that's what we do. But, like, I wonder if we should be, like, almost running drills. Like, should we have a day where we just play turn one, reset, you know?
Yeah, but I think
and try and get the most
one,
out of it.
But I think it just falls in a different situation.
Yeah.
I think if we put the model from the same place every other time.
Yeah.
Maybe changing the terrain up on the board. Yeah. That kind of thing. I think it would be worth doing, just going like, okay, how do a bunch of turn ones look?
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into that other thing of like, you know me, yeah. I am resistant of like conditioning.
Yeah.
So for me, when I go, oh, okay, you do this every time. The only reason I'm really quick on the thing I've had activation, I know. Unless the guy I'm playing against is the kind of player who lets them get something, I've already won.
Yeah.
So for them going 4 inch, 6 inch, it's just a way to quickly get on the clock to burn for activations I don't need. And that's why I don't give them influence, just because I know they're never going to get into an encounter.
Yeah.
Okay, even if I move them and then they go, my model will come here, when you give me a charge next turn.
Yeah.
If I got anything off turn one with Cena, short of having him prepare do the kickoff and get past the ball or something, which I'm never going to do, I don't particularly like that play.
Yeah.
I've given you a 2-1 model with 2-inch melee, a fucking aura ball.
Yeah.
A turn to get the ball and maybe fucking charge and all that. But yeah, if they give me a Cena activation turn one, I know I'm probably going to win.
Mm.
Just because, yeah, that's the layer of decision making. That's the minimum you need to get over for me to know that you understand the rules in the way that I do. Getting over that hump is a hard way to go from novice and intermediate to, in a way, kind of like like actually starting to enjoy the game.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels weird to hear that going, like, you need to get to a certain level before you can actually really appreciate the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, fucking, what a tournament. Really fucking clean, good, solid venue. Cannot... Mm. I don't think I have enough good things to say about it.
Yeah, awesome venue. Really happy it's so close. That's awesome.
Yeah, more importantly, if you live in Leeds, if you live anywhere in that vicinity,
yeah,
look up Leidic Games. More importantly, if you want to buy any miniature shit, go to leidicgames.com. Just so you know, there were no sponsorship or shilling or anything. It's just knowing that two guys who are fucking trying their best to like get something going.
Yeah.
If you want to buy some shit online, or if you live near the area and you want to buy some shit from them, yeah, they're independent. There's no Games Workshop cutting them a check.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, give them a hand. Don't have enough good things to say about them. Yeah. Any final thoughts?
Should have done better. That's my final thought. Should have done better. It was well within my capabilities to have done better today.
Good. Any final thoughts? And you're just staring at the wall. Alex? Alec? What? And it's just you like flaring behind you. Vito Domino.
Yeah. So when's our next event?
Nationals.
Shit, the bird, yeah.
Again.
Okay. That's a biggie. Yeah.
I wanna play for National.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. I'm such a stubborn fan. I don't wanna bring 10 models. I don't want any shit. I wanna play for National. More importantly, I wanna do it my way.
Yeah.
I wanna play my game and play for National.
Mm.
And I will. I'm probably gonna get fucking crushed at Nationals.
Bageled. Not even 1 point across all games.
Fucking, knowing my luck, I'll probably get fucking smashed at Nationals. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going there with the right attitude, we'll talk about... Again, we'll probably do another tournament preparation before Nationals.
Mm.
That's actually a biggie. Like a two-dayer.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get my ass beat back from Germany.
Yeah. At the British Nationals.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right. Cheers.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening.